peace. And would you like to have a life of peace? So today, how to biblically order a busy life, or how to get that chaotic, busy, hectic, messy, out of control life back into the peace of God, the easy and light that God has for you. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And I just want to look at this first. I'm going to tell you not only how to get there, but I'm going to tell you how to have the right mindset to stay there, how to think towards this, what steps to, so that your life can be easy and light from this day forward. But just look at this, just on, even on the thumbnail, you'll see this, that the, these terms, busy, chaotic, out of control, messy, and hectic. A lot of times people are there all by themselves. But even if somebody is doing very good spiritually and they're growing, I've found that many times when we grow up to a place that we've never handled before. And as we're growing properly, we face feeling out of control at that moment. We face more busyness than we were used to. We're handling more things. We're doing more things. And so even if somebody's doing it all right or they're doing it all wrong, they can find themselves tempted to be in this situation. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is how do you handle that? Where do you go from there? What's the proper response to these things? How do you come up out of this chaotic hecticness, this messiness, and stay out of it for good? We're going to tell you that today. So it's three steps. Here's the three steps that I want you to pay attention to. Number one step, relax. Relax is going to be okay. Number two step, how to come out of that? Allo, which stands for abide, listen, and obey. And number three step is take one step at a time. Now, I'm going to break those down into some extreme detail on how to handle those. And you'll find that as you relax, as you abide in Christ, and as you take one step at a time, things will get cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. Have you ever seen like a glass that was filled with muddy, dirty water and you just kept running water in it? You ran the truth of that clarity, the truth, and all of a sudden the truth and the clarity started to dissolve and dilute the muddy water in the glass. And if you just keep going, if you just keep going, then all of a sudden you end up with a clear glass. You're not in chaos anymore. You're not in the hectic. You're not in the busy. It's not out of control. And I've had so many people recently be tempted with this fear of how do I handle this? Where do I go from here? I don't know. It's too much. You know, I've seen so many people tempted in a busy, chaotic, messy, hectic, out of control type feeling in life. And so I'm going to tell you how to deal with it today. So number one, relax. Number two, abide in Christ. Number three, take one step at a time. So let's look at those quickly, and then we're going to get into detail. Number one, relax. You must take your rest by faith. By faith, you rest, right? We're going to look at that. We're going to look at how to do that, the mindset that you should have on that. Two, you have to allo, and A-L-O, allo, abide, listen, and obey. When you abide in Christ, Christ has everything that you need by abiding in Him. But when you're abiding in Him, you have to listen, right? And when you listen and really hear His heart and His instruction, you then need to obey it. It's not enough just to abide, but not listen. It's not enough to abide and listen, but not obey. You have to do all three of those things, allo, abide, listen, and obey. And then you just take one step at a time. God's not going to try and get you to clean up 100 things at one time. In abiding in Him, He'll tell you one thing. And you have to understand that if I will just make that one step of obedience, all you have to do to clean up your life, one step of obedience today. That's it. One step of obedience today. And if you'll just make that one step of obedience, then he'll give you the next, then he'll give you the next, then he'll give you the next, then he'll give you the next. And before you know it, you'll have your life cleaned up and people will be, you know, literally praising God over who you are in their lives and the example that you represent, because you rested first, you relaxed by faith. You abided in him and heard what to do and were obedient one step at a time. All right, so now let's jump into that. Let's look first at the first step, relax. So relax is when we relax, most time when we face a busy, hectic, messy life, it's too much, there's too much going on, all of a sudden, there is a very fleshly tendency to flip out, right? There's a tendency just to flip out. And that's not what you want to do. If you do that, then you are throwing away the promise that God has you, right? God has you. He's got you. He's got it worked out. The work is finished. He knows how to tell you what to do. He's leading you to triumph. He knows how much you can handle. You wouldn't be facing it if you couldn't handle it. So now God knows what you need and he knows how to get you to victory. So for us to fear or for us to flip out in that moment and not relax is literally a lack of faith. It's ungodly. We have to see it as that. Otherwise, you'll keep making excuses for yourself to flip out for the rest of your life. That's not God. You're supposed to be at peace. The peace of God is supposed to guard your heart and your mind in Christ, in the anointing. The anointing has the power to break the yoke of what you're facing. Now, so the first thing is you must by faith take your rest. Stop fearing. Stop worrying. Stop being anxious. You must make a decision. At that moment that you feel that, I will not fear, I will not flip out, I will, by faith, Lord, I might not feel this right now, but by faith, I take my rest. By faith, I take my rest, and I take the place of no fear, no anxiousness, no worry. I take that by faith. This is the walk of faith. We don't have life to the full till it overflows by sight. We have it by faith. So when you hit that busy, hectic, messy, out of control place, you're never going to win by flipping out. You're never going to win by going to fear. You're never going to win by trying to control it all yourself. No. You got to do it by faith. This is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual moment. There's a spiritual solution. You do it by, Lord, I don't know how we're going to handle this necessarily, but I know you. I know you, Father, and you are good and you are faithful, and I am not going to fear this. By faith, I take faith in you right now that everything's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I take faith in you right now. It's going to be okay. And so you must, this is a step that's so important, because if this step is missed, the rest of it doesn't work. And so people think that they can just keep in fear, and when God solves it, then I'll stop fearing. That's not a life of faith. That's not pleasing to God. That's a lack of faith. That's worldly. It's fleshly. It's everything anti-God. But we've been taught in the corrupted world that that's normal, but it's not. In God's kingdom, it's very abnormal. Normal in God's kingdom is, Lord, by faith, I take my rest right now, even though it looks like chaos around me. This is what happened to the disciples in the boat when chaos hit that boat. Jesus literally, he saved them, but then he got on to them. Why are you of such little faith? Right? Because they did not put faith that it was going to be okay. We're with the master and he said something. He gave us a word and it'll take us to the other side. So take your rest and stop fearing. Stop fearing, right? And many times I receive questions and comments from people and I can tell from the way they wrote it, they're in complete fear over this, that if this doesn't change, my life is going to fall apart. And I'm like, why are you asking that question? It's going to be okay. And when they get that, it starts them on the path to cleaning up that life. Listen to this. Don't buy into the fear. Don't buy into the fear. Stop buying that fear. Stop accepting it. Stop allowing that fear. It's not yours. You are redeemed in Christ. It's not yours. It's not your fear. Stop buying fear. This, how many times does God say, don't fear, right? Cast down fear. Take every thought captive. Perfect love. Cast out fear, right? Don't fear. Be anxious for nothing. Stop buying into that fear is okay and that fear is normal. It is not in the kingdom of God for a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, you can be a child of God, and fear can be completely dispelled from your life. Here's the second thing. Don't buy into the chaos. Don't buy in that life has to be chaotic. Don't buy in that life has to be busy. Many times I was working in sales, and I was working very hard, and I had a very common icebreaker that I would ask my customers. I would say, because I knew that my customers would take pride in being busy. And so I would say, how you been? Have you been busy? You've been working hard? And I'll still ask people that question to this day. I just don't ask it for the same reason. You've been working hard? Has it been busy? And they would say, oh, man, yeah, and everything. And they'd say, how have you been? And I'd say, man, I'm busy. And I literally had a patented, you know, kind of branded response that it, when anybody would ask me, I would respond with, man, I've been so busy. Then one day I was driving down the road and I'm talking to the Lord, and the Lord point blank asked me, he says, do you want to be busy? And I was like, and I got to thinking about it, I was like, I don't really want to be busy. I just want to make money. You know, at that point, I was like, I just need to pay my bills. Like, I'd rather pay my bills than not be busy. And I said, Lord, no, I don't want to be busy. He said, what do you want to be? And I went, I want to be productive. I want to be efficient. He said, then say that. Then say that. And so a lot of times it was such an ingrained thought and a response in my head. It took me quite a while to actually change that. But for such a long time, people say, how are you doing? I'd say, man, I'm busy, but I'd have to change it. And finally, I got it through my thinking, and I would start to say, no, I'm being very productive. We are being very productive. We are getting so much accomplished, right? And that, listen, you can get so much accomplished by the grace of God and not actually be busy. You can actually work. Did you know that through the grace of God, you can work 2, 3, 4 hours a day and have the production that's 10 times more than the average person? That's available in God. Those things are available in God. But a lot of times we're not believing God for productivity and efficiency. We're believing God for busy. You don't have to be busy. You can actually do less work and make more money. But see, these things are favor and the blessing of God that's wrapped up in your inheritance in Christ. And so stop saying that you're busy. And watch this. Don't buy into busy. Don't buy into chaos. Don't buy into fear. These are not normal with God's people. These are not normal. Now, here's the other thing is that we can fear, and I'll tell you this. Don't fear it being too much. Oh, it's just too much. I'm doing a good work, but it's just too much. Don't buy into it being too much. If God asks you to do it, you can handle it. And watch this, and if he asks you to do it, there's a supernatural way to handle it. Get revelation on that right there. If God asks me to do it, there's a supernatural way to do it. Which means I don't have to do it by natural means anymore. I can get God's grace and do, and I can operate in my life at full supernatural nature through God. So when you buy into it's too much, when you buy into it, you know, fear, when you buy into chaos, when you buy into busy, when you buy into failing, right? When you buy into these things, then you make allowance for that in your mind instead of blocking that and saying, no, there's a different way. There's a better way. There's a God way. And so this is faith in action. What I'm giving you now, this is how faith thinks. Faith stops seeing things like that. Faith stops fearing those things. Faith stops buying into those things. And faith says, there's a supernatural God way to do this, and God's going to give me favor and grace to get it done at a different level. And so don't buy into the fear. Don't buy into the chaos. Don't fear it being too much. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. So 1 Corinthians 10:13. And this is one of my favorite verses. This is actually, this verse and the next verse is a verse that I got a hold of, and when I did, and it became mine, and I got revelation on it, it changed my life forever. This one and the next one. 1 Corinthians 10:13 and 2 Corinthians 2:14. And I want you to see this, because the biggest point in this whole, the biggest point in this verse is that God is faithful. It's not about what you do. It's not about where you are, where you come from, or what you're facing. The biggest point in this verse, the biggest promise in this verse, is God is faithful. I don't put my faith on me, where I've come from, or where I'm going, or my abilities. I put my faith on Him. And when I put my faith on Him, there's no fear left to buy into. There's no anxiousness left to buy into. When I put my faith on Him, there's no chaos left to buy into. There's no too much. There's no busy, right? There's no failing in Him. I put my faith on Him. And so look at this, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. In other words, there's no situation that you'll be tempted to drop faith in that you and God can't handle. It's common to you and God. And then you see that God's involved in this in the next statement. And God is faithful. And God is faithful, and God who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. He won't allow you to do that. But He will provide the way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. So what we see there is that God's never going to let me be in a place that He and I can't handle by faith. God's never going to let me be in a place that He and I can't handle by faith. And at the worst, He will provide a way of escape. If it got so bad, He'll provide a way of escape. So now you tell me, what do you have to fear? Is there anything that's going to be too much? Is there anything that's going to be there to fear? If God's faithful, there's nothing He's going to allow you to be tempted with beyond your capability with Him and faith. And if it got too much, He'll provide the way of escape. That's the worst case scenario. And this is a promise to every believer. This is a part of your inheritance. When I got that, all my fears seemed to melt away when I really got revelation of that verse. But then I coupled it with this verse because the Lord later showed me this verse, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, one of my absolute favorites. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. He always does it. He's never leading us to failure. He's never leading us to calamity. He's never leading us to tragedy, ever, ever. All I have to do is take His lead. All I have to do is take Him by the hand and do it His way. So when I made the decision, I'm going to take Jesus by the hand in every scenario, in every situation, in every temptation, I will take Jesus by the hand. When you make that decision, you literally link up with triumph always. You literally link up with triumph always. So I can say, whoa, this feels hectic. This feels messy. This feels chaotic. This feels too much. But I can go to 1 Corinthians 10:13 and say, but I wouldn't be here if we couldn't handle it. So right now, Jesus, I take you by the hand. Lead me into that triumph. And even if I missed it, even if I somehow failed the faith test or I failed something like that, God would still give me the way of escape. But I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to believe it's not too much. Jesus, whatever you tell me is the best. And it's going to lead me to triumph. I love the rest of the verse that says, and when we take Him by the hand, He manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Not just some places, every place the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. In every place. This is where we want to stay. So take your rest in faith. Stop fearing by faith. This is a key step. Because most people, they think they can jump over those feelings of fear and they cannot take rest in God and think that the rest of it's going to work. No, you have to, by faith, believe that God has a solution that's bigger than the emotions you're feeling. You have to believe that God has a solution bigger than the busyness you're feeling, than the chaos you're feeling, than the hectic life that you're feeling, than the out of control. You have to believe that. You have to say, no, God's bigger than this, and I take all these feelings and I cast those cares on him. Don't buy into the fear. Don't buy into the chaos. Don't fear it being too much. And in 2 Corinthians 2:14 that we just read, don't fear failing. Most people I find, if they get through all the rest of it, they think every decision is on them. And if I don't make the right one right now, and they go back into fear of failing. All I got to do is take Jesus by the hand, step into him. He's going to lead me to triumph, right? And so you see, God will give you grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. These are some of my favorite scriptures. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Abound to you. You should be shouting. So that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. See, God's able to get the grace to you, the supernatural empowerment to you for all the fear, chaos, hecticness, all the out of control, all the too much, all the busy, to make all that go away. He's able to get it to you. He will get it to you. All we have to do is by faith take him by the hand and say, Lord, I'm doing it your way. I ditch all these feelings of fear. I ditch all this chaos. I ditch all this pressure. I cast all my cares on him. Lord, I take you by the hand. You got it. I'm following you, Lord. See, the issue is we fear because we're not following him. We're leading. Many times we're in fear because we don't trust ourselves and we're trying to lead instead of letting Jesus take the lead, right? And this is the problem. And this is why fear is there, because you know you failed in the past, but you don't have to live like that anymore. You can say, I purposefully ditch the fear. By faith, I trust you. You have a solution. I take you by the hand. You have all grace, all ways for all sufficiency and everything to give to me. And I receive it. I receive all grace right now to handle these things. I receive all grace to handle these items. God will give you grace. But you see here in this verse and in James chapter 4 that there's ways to build grace. There's ways to grow grace. So if you want to get better at handling these things by grace, specifically pay attention to these two points. In verse 10, it says this, now he who supplies seed to the sower. So he will give grace in the form of seed to the one whose heart is purposed to be a sower. So if I, now watch this, recently Buddy and I were talking about the two different mentalities that you'll have in a business. You have an employee mentality and you have an entrepreneurial mentality. Or I would say you have like a fleshly mentality or you have a kingdom mentality. They go hand in hand. The employee only sees basically, you've given me a task of things to get done. And every time you add a task to that list of things to get done, it just increases my workload. It's just too much. Oh my gosh, you gave me one more thing. Versus the entrepreneur, he understands that if the workload doesn't get done, he doesn't have a business. And it doesn't matter what the list is, it has to get done. And it will get done in some form or fashion. When an employee gets the mindset of the entrepreneur, they start getting promoted. Why? Because they understand that somehow this can and will get done regardless of what it looks like. There's that mentality. I want you to see this. When somebody who doesn't have the heart of the kingdom of God and they don't have the heart of a Lord, I'm sowing this, then all they see is a price to pay to Jesus. Well, I've got to give my offering this week, and that's a price, and I got to go to church, and that's another price to pay. And all they're seeing is a list to get done, and every time God asks them to do something, it's just another thing. But if they would turn that in their heart to be a sower, Lord, I gladly receive what you're telling me to do. And by obedience, I sow my work. I sow my actions. Lord, I sow that. There's a list to do to get these projects done. Lord, I sow this into you and into your kingdom. That person goes from being a worldly thinker and paying their own price to being a sower that God is bound to his word to give them the seed of grace to. So a lot of people don't have grace because they're constantly paying the price and they have a list of things that God just keeps adding to. My boss keeps adding to. My team leader keeps adding to me. Pastor keeps adding to me. And they see the list as a price to pay instead of seed to sow. Their whole mindset and their heart on the issue, if you back up a few verses, it actually says, if you will purpose in your heart to be a cheerful sower. That's the person that he will give, verse 8 to, all grace abounding to every good thing. And then all of a sudden, you have the supernatural on your side. You're not handling it all by yourself anymore. You're handling it, and God's coming and helping you, and he's empowering you now supernaturally. So if you want to get out of this, your mindset has to be, amen, your mindset has to be, Lord, I sow myself into you. I give myself to you. And you'll watch this. A lot of times, right in the middle of what you think is the worst time, the Lord will ask you to give something. He'll ask you to do something. He'll ask you, and you'll be like, that's the last thing I need to do right now. Because that's an employee, worldly, paying the price, legalistic mindset, and not the sowing. Oh, that's what you want me to do? Praise God, this must have something to do with the easy and light that you're bringing to me. This must have something to do with your harvest that you're bringing to me. Glory to God. Thank you for showing me what to do, Lord. Thank you, Father, for showing me that thing. So you can see that God will give you grace, and we need to put faith in that grace, but faith without works is dead. So be ready to be a cheerful sower. The second thing is this, humility. You go into James chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. James 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So see, when we have a pride, I know how to handle this. I've been doing everything right. I know how to make these things happen. You know, pastor, tell me what to do. Well, I've already done that. See, that's a pride. You just cut yourself off from greater grace, right? Because you think you know what you're doing. But when we come to the Lord, Lord, I need your help. And whatever it is, I will do it. Lord Jesus, I take you by the hand. I will listen to you. I will do it your way. Whatever, now watch this. This is humility. Whatever needs to be changed in my life, I will change that. I won't defend how I've been doing it. I won't try to hold on to how I've been doing it. I will change whatever needs to change. And that humble heart will allow grace to come in. If I need to communicate this to my team members and I'm embarrassed to tell them I don't know how to handle it, Lord, I'll humble myself to you. I don't care what it takes. I will humble myself to you. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do that. And that humility, the Bible tells us, makes us promise he'll give us grace and greater grace. Glory to God. All right, so now I want you to see this. And then, you see, when we relax, we're taking our rest by faith. We're stopping fearing. We're not buying into the fear. We're not buying into the chaos. We don't fear it being too much. We're not buying into being busy. We don't fear failing. No, we turn our faith to grace. Lord, I believe you have a grace for me. And it overcomes all of this. My faith in your grace overcomes the world. My faith in your grace overcomes the world. My faith in your grace overcomes the world. That's a good confession. My faith in your grace overcomes the world. Because your faith, what faith grabs a hold of to overcome the world, is God's grace. And so you move into that grace by being a sower, a cheerful sower in your heart. Stop looking at it as a list of price to pay. And you walk in humility constantly to have that greater grace. But then the last thing on this rest is, I want you to see this. This is a command from God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. It's like, how do we see this and then miss it? If you're going to relax in God, look at this commandment, Hebrews 4 and 11. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Therefore, be diligent to enter that rest. So when we say step one is to relax and rest in him by faith, we're not just coming up with some good idea. No, this is scripture command. Our job as believers is to diligently get into that rest. Diligently get into that rest. Not make excuse for not resting. We have to see it is our responsibility and it's the first step to our solution. Be diligent to enter into that rest. Now, step two, abide. Aloe, abide, listen, and obey. Abide, listen, and obey. Step two. You see that God gives us a way out. When we first say, Lord, there is an answer, I rest in you. The second thing that the Lord takes us to is that our answer is in him. Remember, Jesus said, I'll lead you to triumph if you take me by the hand. He's always leading us to triumph. When we say, okay, the first step is, I know there's an answer. Now you show me what to do. You're shown what to do in abiding in Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, all of these are such good verses. Why? The reason why they're my favorite verses is because these verses bring solutions, and they bring people to the place where they have answers. And I've watched as a pastor how when people have gotten a hold of these verses, their life goes up. So as a pastor, I love these verses because it's victory verses, it's freedom verses. Look at this, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, hectic, chaotic, busy, out of control. That's who he's talking to. And I will give you rest. Now see, the first thing he's saying is, you got to come to me, but you got to believe I'll give you rest. You have to believe that Jesus will give you rest. You must believe that Jesus will give you rest. I will give you rest. He says, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In other words, you can't just come to Jesus and hear from him and not do it. You have to be obedient, but you're obedient because you were listening with all of your heart. Humility will keep the directions of God clear. Humility will keep the directions of God clear in your life. Pride will, even if you're abiding with Christ, pride will make them murky. Pride will keep them unclear. But humility will keep the commands of God clear. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, look, my yoke, he says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we go to him, notice here how Jesus says, you got to go to me. You can't stand back over there in your fear and chaos and just complain how you're trusting God, but it's not working. No, you got to drop that. If you're trusting God is faith. Trusting God, faith without works is not faith. Faith without works is not trusting. So standing over there in the pity party or standing in fear or allowing yourself to stay in the muck and the mire of the chaos, that's actually not faith. That's not trusting God. He's already told you a command that we are to trust and take action on. You go to Him. And that means you leave the place of fear. You cast your cares. You drop that. You drop those cares and you come to Him. He says, listen, when I'm teaching you things, I'm going to be gentle with you. I'm going to be humble. This is reaffirming what I would say in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that He's not going to give you more correction than you can handle. He knows exactly what you need, when you need it, how you need it. That's His gentleness and humbleness. And if you'll learn to do things His way, you'll find that it's going to take you to those solutions. It'll be easy and light. But we must go to Him. Aloe, abide in Him, listen and obey. Acts 17:28, now I'll just quote it to you. In Him, in the King James, Acts 17:28, in Him we live and move and have our being. In where? In Him. We live and move and have our being. In a very quick definition of this, in Christ, we have life to the full till it overflows. Everything we need for life is where? In Him. In life, in Christ, we move. We move. We know the destination. We know where to go. We know how to get there. We know how to avoid the traps. And we have the provision of power and sustenance to get there. So in Him, we have life to the full. We know where to go, what to do. We're not at a loss for direction. Where? In Him. In Him, we have our being. Everything that we need to come into being, every part of our being, everything we need to come into our being is found where? In Christ. And I just said this, all of your answers are in Christ. All of your answers are in Christ. Hear this statement. He knows what you need to fix from yesterday. He knows. Oh, well, you, Pastor, You got to know what all I did. Jesus knows what you need to fix from yesterday. He knows what needs to be corrected. He knows what needs to be dropped. He knows all the problems of the past. You don't have to worry about where you've come from. You don't have to worry about the past. In your abiding in Him today, He'll give you all that you need to fix the past. He knows what you need to prepare for tomorrow. He knows what's coming up more than you do. He knows what you're facing more than you do. He knows what needs to be planted today, built today for tomorrow. He knows it better than you do. So your abiding in Him today takes care of tomorrow. Abiding in Him today takes care of your past. Abiding in Him today takes care of your tomorrow. And abiding in Him today is He knows what needs to happen exactly today. See, the issue is that we've grown up in a world that doesn't trust Jesus to be the answer for everything. They trust their works. They trust their own legalism. So we've constantly been taught to try and fix our past, to try and prepare our future, and our mindset so much on those that we never have been taught really in this culture to be in Jesus today. But in Christ today, everything that you need is there. All of your answers are in Him. Look at this, these verses, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Matthew 6, one of the strongest passages dealing with how to live life I've ever seen in my life. One of the strongest passages, 25. For this reason, I say to you, Jesus says, do not be worried about your life. It's a command from our Lord. Don't be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds. You want to learn how to get out of fear. You want to learn how to get out of the chaos. You want to learn how to drop the busyness, drop the out of control. Read these verses and meditate on them. Read Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Read these verses. Meditate on all the ones we've given you today. But these verses, they've got some answers in them. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they are? The answer is obviously yes. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear for clothing. Let me add to it in context. Or how I will handle my job or how I will handle my family or what am I going to do with this list of items? My to-do list is too big. All of that applies here directly. Do not worry then, saying what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear for clothing. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows exactly what you need. He knows the list. You don't have to have the list. He knows the list. We need to put our trust in our fellowship with him more than we put our trust in our to-do list. I'm not saying that you don't plan. I'm not saying that you don't have a calendar and that you don't schedule out by the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. But I'm saying, don't make that list your source. It's the one who gave you that list in fellowship who should be your source. He knows the list more than you do. He says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He gives us the answer right there. Seek first him, his kingdom, and his righteousness. That's who he is, his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek him first, and all the things that you need will be added. Stop seeking how you're going to fail. Stop spending time meditating on how you're going to fail. That's seeking failure. Stop spending time on how you could miss it. That's seeking missing it. If you seek missing it, you'll miss it. If you seek failing, you'll fail. If you seek his kingdom and his right things, his righteous things, you'll have his kingdom and his righteousness. Stop. See, when you're meditating on that, you're literally seeking those things. How can I not do this? But you're actually seeking it. Because you're meditating on that negative thing and how it could possibly go wrong. You're meditating on how it could go wrong under the guise of, I'm trying to do it right. And that's the deception. He doesn't say that. He says, seek his kingdom first, which means seek his hand and his hand of help and seek his grace and his empowerment to get these things done. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's got enough stuff to handle. You don't have to make up new things or dream up new ways of how it will break and how it won't be. No, that's the way to end up in chaos. That's the way to end up in that busyness. But the way to end up in easy and light is to seek God, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Lord, I give myself to you. And that begins by being restful. When you do this, how can you really add to yourself? The only way is to seek his right ways. Seek his right ways. His right ways are abide, listen, and obey. When you abide in him and you listen with humility and you obey, that's his righteousness and that's the answers that you need. Next step and the last step, take one step at a time. Most of the time when we are so busy and we are so out of control, part of the reason why we're busy and out of control is our flesh or the devil has brought up all the details of everywhere that we've missed it. He's brought up all the details of everywhere that we've missed it. So there may be, you know, 25, 50, 100 things going through our mind over a short period of time. But that's not how the Lord will deal with things. He'll deal with things one at a time. He'll say, okay, you're taking me by the hand now. I want you to fix this one thing, this one thing. Watch this. Clean up one area at a time as he shows you. How Nicole and I got to this place in our life is, years ago, I just knew to do this. Now, how did I know to do it? I'd read the word. I think I had enough word in me to know some of the wisdom of the Lord. And I just knew, handle one thing at a time. Take one bite at a time. Take one step at a time. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to fix today? I fixed that one thing today. And then tomorrow there was something else. I fixed it. You know, the next week there was something else. I fixed it. As he brought things up to me, I worked on it and I fixed it and I fixed it. And all of a sudden, the water of my life started to clear up. I just took one step at a time. It's literally what we did. And look, we were a mess at the beginning. We had messes along the way. But when we'd face those messes and things would blow up we would just take one step at a time. Watch this. The issue is when you're in fear and when you see the list of stuff and you see all the stuff that you're doing wrong, most people think they got to fix it all in one day. And that's overwhelming because most of the time their mental capacity, it's too much for them to handle all of those things at one time. Now, God could help them do it, but that person's not in that place. Just fix the one thing he's telling you to fix right now. Just one step at a time. And watch this. Zechariah 4:10 teaches us to not despise small beginnings. So just because God's only given you one thing to fix, just fix that. That's a beginning of godliness, a beginning of answers, a beginning of a solution. You don't have to do more. He knows what you need to do and how much. Just hear from him, abide, listen, and obey one thing at a time. And when he tells you one thing, don't despise it because it's just one thing. You fix that, there'll be something else. He'll lead you to it, and he won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. He knows what you can handle and what you can't. Why would we, if we had a coach that would tell us how to clean up our life with the perfect wisdom and knowledge like God has, and the loving compassion, humility, and gentleness like it tells us in Matthew 11, why would we try to do it ourselves? Why would we do it? Imagine if you had the money to go out and pay a life coach that had 100% success rate, and you paid them $2,000 a month to help coach you in life, and they went and told you what to do. How many people would not do what they said? Like, I'm paying too much to not listen to this guy. I'm paying too much to not listen to him, right? But God doesn't charge you that. He just charges you faith. So if you're given your faith, why? And he's got more wisdom than any life coach ever been on the earth besides Jesus. He's got more wisdom. He's got more insight. He can see what's coming. He actually knows the truth that'll set you free. Why? Why would we not listen to him? Why would we try to make up our own rules and our own list and all of that? No, all I've got to do. And so then if God comes and all he gives me is one thing, why would I try to make up 10 things to change right now? Just change the one thing, one step at a time. Don't despise small beginnings. Matthew 13, 31 through 32. Matthew 13, 31 through 32. You see the same principle here about not despising the small beginnings. Matthew 13, 31 and 32. And it says this. He says, he presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree. So this one seed, it's about, if you've ever seen it, it's like really, really tiny seed about the size of a head of a pen, like a writing pen. He says, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. So out of this one very tiny seed of faith comes a whole tree that birds will nest in. So you don't despise the small beginnings. And here's what I want you to say. Your small beginning is the one step God told you today. Your seed of faith that the birds are going to nest in, that's going to grow up into this great big thing, is actually just dropping fear today. Is determining to go into allo, abide, listen, and obey. Is determining, I'm going to take just one step at a time. And that one step, it's one seed of faith. It's the same thing. See, people think that they got to do 10 things at one time, and they overlook their one seed of faith that God's actually telling them, that He's given His word on, do this today. They overlook that small thing, thinking that it's small. They've despised the small, and they need to actually just plant that seed of faith and let the Lord give the increase and grow it. And before they know it, they're out of the chaotic life. Don't get weary in well-doing. Take one step, tomorrow, take the next step. Tomorrow, take the next step. Years ago, the Lord said to me, God is looking for people who will do the right things for long periods of time. And if you'll do that, if you will drop the fear and rest, by faith, Lord, I relax. Just say it with me right now. Lord, by faith, I relax in you. By faith, I relax in you. I take my rest in you. And on purpose, I drop fear. I purpose myself to allo, abide, listen, and obey. I will come to you humbly. I will listen to you and learn from you. And I will obey what you ask me to do. And Lord, I will take one step at a time. It's my seed of faith every day, one step at a time. And I will receive a life cleaned up, decluttered, brought into your control, productive, efficient, easy, and light. I receive it by faith now. Lord, I might not have started before now, but I start now, and I take it now in Jesus' name. I have it by faith. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. I'm on the path now to the fullness of your life in mine. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you so very, very much. We will be back tomorrow. And if you would like to sow into a productive, efficient, easy life, easy and light life, if you'd like to sow into it, you're welcome to. You can go to give.ww.org. Abigail's going to tell you more about that. And she's going to release faith that anything that you're seeing will bring a supernatural harvest now. We love you. We'll see you more tomorrow. Adios.
Amen. Right now, let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, for every seed that is being sown today. We expect by faith great expectations for a mighty harvest for every person sowing seed today. Thank you, Lord. This is good soil, and a seed sown in good soil must produce a harvest. So we get excited. We get in faith over the harvests that are coming, pressed down, shaken together, and running over quickly back into the hands of the sower. In Jesus' name, amen.